Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Big 12 Nation. And Oklahoma got in, so I can't bitch, moan, or complain like I really want to. But we got some other stuff, things to talk about. Coaching changes and all type of drama going on in the Big 12 Conference. But we'll be right back, and we'll take a quick break for a few seconds, and we're going to get right into it. All right, welcome back. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I had to get my earpiece adjusted. So, all right, so they let Oklahoma in, and people are griping and they're bitching, saying that the Pac-12 should be in. They think the Pac-12 is the best conference. Well, the problem with that is that Northwestern was probably a higher mid-level Big Ten team, and Stanford lost to them. And then Stanford also lost to Oregon, who lost to Michigan State. So, yeah, Stanford's right there at five, and they play Iowa. But you got to remember, they lost to Oregon, and then they also lost to a Big Ten team. Those two losses, both of those teams were beat. Oregon was beat by a Big Ten team, and Northwestern was beat by a couple of Big Ten teams. So you got to remember, that's where your argument goes with the Pac-12. Do I think the Pac-12 is a good conference? Yes. I think overall they're probably better than SEC. SEC is just blown up out of proportion. So I don't have a problem with that. But I'm happy that Oklahoma got it. Now, the garbage that I'm starting to hear, ladies and gentlemen, is that, okay, because Clemson beat Oklahoma so bad last year in the bowl game, people are starting to throw that comparison in. It's a totally different year. Totally different ball game. So what happened last year means absolutely nothing. And I expect Oklahoma's offense to be explosive, especially with their new offensive coordinator and the way they're going about things. So it's going to be a fun little bowl season. I'm ready for it. I'm anxious. Coach moves. Looks like Strong will stay at Texas. I know I had said rumors and thought he was maybe going to Miami. I thought he was going somewhere. But it looks like he's going to bring in some new offensive guys on his staff, most likely TCU, Sonny Cumbie, so he'll stay right in conference with the hire. And I think it's a solid hire. Bottom line is he just got to win the games he's supposed to win in Texas, and then within a couple years, he just has to have them in the national championship conversation. If he wins 10 games at Texas, people will most likely leave him alone. If he goes 10-2, within the next couple of years, they'll probably leave him alone, and they'll give him so many years till he has to get back to the top. But other than that, you know, it's a serious game, Coach. It's no joke. And we'll be right back. We're going to go over the bowl games and talk about the different matchups and who the Big 12 will face. So we'll be right back in a second on Big 12 Nation. All right, everybody, welcome back. Big 12 Nation, I had to make sure we had the screen and everything right before I went over to Big 12 bowl games. I want to say 9 of our teams got in. Let me double check. I know Kansas State beat West Virginia, so they got one last second. West Virginia is definitely going to one. Baylor's going to one. TCU's going to one. That's 4 right there. Texas Tech's going to one. That's 5. Obviously, Oklahoma State, that's 7. Iowa State's not going anywhere. Kansas isn't going anywhere. Texas isn't going anywhere. One more missing. Let me check out here real quick where everybody is going. You know, overall, really happy that we got Oklahoma in there. I would have been happy if Iowa State would have been in there, just as long as we got in there. So, as we got in there and we got a chance to compete for the national title, now we don't have to do it. Now, I hope the committee is not playing some game where they're like, oh, well, last year we left the Big 12 out, so we had to put them in this year, and then next year they're going to leave us out and put the Pac-12 back in. I hope the committee's not playing that game, because because they're notorious for that, where they make sure that no matter what, an SEC champion is in there. So, okay, in the Cactus Bowl, we got West Virginia going against Arizona State in Tempe. It'll be like a home game for Arizona State. That's going to be an offensive shootout showdown. Dana Holgorsen had a pretty good year. Congratulations to him going 7-5. They could have been 9-3 very easy, but overall they had a solid year. Congrats to him. Now, in the Alamo Bowl, we got TCU versus Oregon. Now, that, to me, outside of the championship with Oklahoma facing Clemson, that, to me, is the funnest Big 12 bowl game. It's going to be offense, offense, and offense right there in Big 12 country in South Texas. So that's going to be a blast to watch, and that's January 2nd. That'll be 2 days after the actual bowl game, the semifinals. So that will be fun to watch. I actually cannot wait to see that. That is one of the Big 12. Texas Tech LSU in the Texas Bowl. That's probably going to be sold out. Let's see if Les Miles, now that he's got his contract extension and all the heat is off of him and all the drama is away from him, let's see if he can actually get things going, and let's see if Cliff Kingsbury can put up, you know, 80 points on the LSU Tigers. That is going to be a matchup of flat-out defense versus offense. That'll be a cool one to see. I would have to give – I don't know. I want to say I'd give it to LSU, but you never know. The bowl games are weird. People weird teams win in the bowl games. You can never predict the bowl game. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have a prediction of that. The TCU-Oregon game, that's another hard one to pick. I don't. It's whoever has the ball last. TCU has been down on defense all year. Oregon's always been terrible at defense, so that doesn't matter. West Virginia, Arizona State, so that's a damn one. Jeez, OP. Kansas State, Arkansas. Now, listen to how crazy this is. Listen to how crazy this is. The Big 12 is known for scoring, known for putting up points, known for offense. However, you still have that one old school coach that everybody respects, that everybody knows, he knows the game, who keeps his team with a winning record every year or finds a way to get his team to a bowl game every year, and that is the great, legendary Bill Snyder. Now, this man is playing Arkansas, and this is going to be like a 1981-1979 game where people are going to run the football, smash mouth, defense, physical, physical, physical. That's all both teams are going to try and do to each other is run the ball down each other's throat. So now, while I just named the other Big 12 games, I'm just going to be passing, you know, lighting up the scoreboard. West Virginia, Arizona State, and then TCU, Oregon, they're going to be lighting up the scoreboard. Kansas State and Arkansas, that final will probably be 24-21. Easily going to be 24-21. That's just an old school, an old fashioned matchup. And obviously, I'll still watch it. They actually play in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. That's January 2nd, too. So it's a lot of Big 12 teams playing after New Year's. Wow. I didn't realize that till just now. It's a whole lot of our teams playing after New Year's. I'm trying to see the earliest bowl game that we have here in Big 12 Nation. Maybe Texas Tech is the earliest one. From what I can see, looks like the earliest bowl game we're going to have is Texas Tech. Because Oklahoma State's in the New Year's Six. That's the earliest game we have. So hats off to the Big 12, damn. I mean, I don't see a garbage bowl game that the Big 12 is in this year for all the bowl eligible teams we have. There's not one. Wow, great job. Great job, Big 12. I mean, that looks great for the conference. That I just looked at it. Texas Tech is the 30th. Kansas State is the 2nd. TCU is the 2nd. West Virginia is the 2nd. Oklahoma is in the semifinals. Oklahoma State is in the New Year's Six versus Ole Miss. That's a really good matchup. But you know what? I'm going to say this. Oklahoma State's going to kick Mississippi's ass. I'm so sick of the damn SEC. Is there any other SEC matchups that we have? Kansas State, that'll be rough against Arkansas because their linemen are really huge. and Kansas State is known for having walk-ons. But even with Kansas State having the walk-ons, they're going to bring it to them anyway because Texas Tech whooped them earlier. It's a different type of style, but, you know, I'm so sick of this SEC propaganda. I'm going out on them right now. Oklahoma State's going to kick Mississippi's ass straight up. They don't have a chance. I hope my boy at Oklahoma State, I'm a man, I'm 40. I hope he goes out there and runs the school but up on him. I'm so fed up with the SEC propaganda. It makes me sick. Let's go back to this weekend. This weekend before, and this is me going on the Charlie Strong saga real quick. This weekend beforehand, everybody said, yes, the boosters and certain people supported Charlie Strong, but he still had to play well at Baylor. Now, bottom line is Baylor was down to his third-string quarterback, I heard. However, Texas did not have a quarterback all year long, and their quarterback was inconsistent, and their offense just looked absolutely horrible. And this game, whoever won the game, it was pretty evenly matched. But I think him winning the way he won was impressive, and it kept Charlie Strong some breathing room for next year. Now, there's two losing seasons in a row. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if he starts off 1-3 next year, he's going to get fired. People in Texas are not trying to hear that. You got 2 years, you got your recruits under your belt, they got to come out with eight, nine wins minimum next year. If he has 7 wins next year, then he better make sure he's got 3 top 25 teams beat. He needs 3 upsets in the Big 12 if he wants to pull that off. That's the only way he's getting any slack there. It's going to be the real deal, Holyfield. For Charlie Strong next year. I haven't heard any news if Sonny Covey agreed yet or not. Jay Norville, I don't know if he'll be back. It looks like his buddies from Louisville, Wickline, and Watson, they're probably on their way out the door. It looks like the only person that's going to stay on the offensive staff is the running backs coach, and that's because the running backs coach has been a great recruiter. So things are looking a little different in Austin right now. We'll see. It's an interesting situation to come up. Other than that, the coaching moves that have been made really is only Iowa State. Matt Campbell is a very young, energetic, you know, high-quality coach. We will see what he does at Iowa State. I'm predicting Iowa State will get 6 wins next year and get to a bowl game. Based on the type of coach Matt Campbell is, I think they can get 3 Big 12 wins. I think if West Virginia has to come there, they can find a way to get West Virginia. They can find a way to beat Kansas. And if they can get Kansas State there, they can find a way to get Kansas State. It's always hard to win on the road in the Big 12. Anything can happen. But Baylor's matchup, they have a not-so-tough matchup coming up in their bowl game. But, you know, they're down to their third-string quarterback. I haven't really looked in to see when he's going to be back. But, you know, I wish Baylor nothing but the best, and I really hope that they can get everything together and get back on track next year. I know they really had a depressing season. I know a lot of people said when the Texas-Baylor game was on this weekend that Baylor lost games that it didn't expect to lose. And then also Texas had a year that they didn't expect to have, too. So it was kind of like both teams needed to win, but both teams were beat up, and both teams had been through it all season. So hats off to Charlie Strong. He got a big win. He beat two, top-ranked teams in the Big 12, but he couldn't beat the teams he was supposed to beat. But that was enough for him to keep the job. And Baylor is going to take on UNC. Now, if everybody knows, UNC was ranked 10th, and they were the big controversy this last week, saying that if they beat Clemson, they would be able to jump people and get in the college football playoff. Obviously, that didn't happen. They tried to make some controversial, you know, discussion about it. Of course, media tried to hype it up. But at the end of the day, Clemson won that game pretty easily. I am looking for the Bears to come out and, show their offense against North Carolina's defense. Their third-string quarterback should be ready. I mean, that's almost a month from now when they play. Concussion protocol is, I believe, 10 days now. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll be playing football here in the next 10 years. By the way, some of these doctors are coming out saying you don't need to play contact sports at this day or that day. You know, to me it just sounds crazy. It's like the older we get in society, the softer we get. I mean, we were number one in the world in America for a reason, and because we worked hard, we didn't make excuses, and we didn't go overboard with some of the stuff. Nowadays, some of the stuff, everybody's so baby. Just like the, I'm listening to ESPN radio today, and what's his name, Dan Levitard or whatever, he's getting mad because Dabo Swinney was yelling at the punter. Well, the punter did some dumb stuff, so you damn right he yelled at him. It's just like, it's just some stuff that's good old school. Technology and new school is good, but some stuff that's made old school, it's just damn better old school. Because some of these people, and it makes me so mad when you hear some of these commentators who've never coached football, never been passionate about the sport like that, try and tell a coach what he needs to do with a player when he has to sit his ass out there in 1 3-hour practice where it's hot as hell outside and you're going over responsibility and personnel and things to do in certain situations. Then the kid gets out there and he does exactly what you did opposite of practice, because guess who's the first person who gets blamed when stuff goes wrong? It's the damn coach. You know what I mean? It's just some stuff like, just back off. Just back off. You're not a football coach. You're a sports commentator. Just back off. Shut the hell up. And I have no problem with Dabo Swinney dealing with the punter. I know this is a little off the subject of Big 12 Nation, but I'm really tired of some of these commentators making these coaches be soft matches. Like, you can't be soft in football. We can't be soft in America. We can be loving. We can be open-minded. We can be caring. But football is football for a reason. Boxing is boxing. MMA is MMA. In certain sports, they're contact sports. We play them because we love them. We love the violence, and that's the end of it. So don't sit there and start this crazy stuff about we need to wait till somebody's 18 to play football. Come the heck on, man. It sounds ridiculous. You can drive at 16. So how are you going to tell? And in some states, in Big 12 Nation, you don't have to be even 14 to be able to drive. So how are you going to? You know, you got 15-year-old kids that could probably beat up some grown men. So it just sounds stupid trying to put an age limit on how old people can do certain things. That, man, just leave stuff alone the way it is. Can we fix up some of the concussions? And all this is coming back from this movie, Concussion, that's coming out real quick with Will Smith. I like Will Smith. He's a great actor. But some of this stuff is crazy. But at the end of the day, they say the stuff about concussion, but you also have the 60, 70-year-old dudes now who look great, talk great, and act better. There's some people who never played football that were in football. So, you know, for everything they're trying to say about football, you can do the same thing about walking. You can do the same thing about walking too much does this to your damn bones. Look, driving this way does this to your neck. You hold your damn neck the wrong way looking at a computer too long, you're going to have a messed up neck when you get older. So it's so many things that if we wanted to over-investigate or over-obsess about, we could find something the hell wrong with it. I'll put my name on this right now. Football has saved more lives than it's hurt. I can guarantee you that. There's a lot of kids who, if they weren't playing college football, if they didn't make it to the NFL, they'd be in our prison system or they'd be doing something that they wouldn't like doing and hurting. So let's quit the crap. Football does miracles for a lot of people and a lot of things. And we can try and fix the game as best we can, but it's a contact sport. It's meant to be physical. It's meant to be jaw-dropping. It's not meant to be patty cake. If we wanted to see patty cake, we'd all sit down. That shit's boring. Like, so just leave the damn game alone. Fix some things. The helmet-to-helmet contact thing, that's drove me crazy this year with the way they called that damn thing. I mean, it was literally Texas, I remember, lost a defensive back in the Cal game because the guy called helmet-to-helmet. You could clearly see the kid through his shoulder first. That's something I hope they fix up in the offseason, because that's ridiculous. Getting kids suspended for the rest of it, kicked out of a game, and they're suspended for a half. You know, these coaches have these, you know, are all on the hot seat to win. That's one thing that has to get fixed by next year. That's just one of the stupidest damn rules, the helmet to helmet. Now, there's sometimes when you can tell the guy went helmet to helmet and he knocked the kid out and you saw it was brutal, then you can say, okay, he needs to go out the game. But there's some of those things that are just like patty cake, like, nobody got hurt, and you're just like, well, why did you kick that kid out of the game, and now he has to miss half of next week? So there's some things that need to be fixed this offseason, and there's some things that people just don't need to try and rewrite the book on. It's just some things that were made a certain way. Like, this is why I love college football, and Big 12 Nation is always important to me. One simple damn reason. Why the hell, has anybody seen the NFL this year? Why the hell would Roger Goodell make them put the field goal back 10 or 12, however many dumbass yards is back. What's the purpose of that, man? Like, seriously, what's the purpose of that? What is that? I'm in the NFL, so I got to kick an extra long field goal. So if the team, like yesterday when the Cincinnati Bengals were playing, if the team gets to the 5-yard line, they get 3 points easier than they get 1 point. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, it's just some stuff you don't need to bother with the game. Helmet to helmet, yeah, we need to break down on it. It's certain things we need to take into account when we're talking about helmet to helmet contract, because it can really injure people and hurt. You know, I mean, Ash from Texas, he hurt himself because of that, and he was a great quarterback at Texas. So I understand that type of protocol, but it's something that just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Commentators, if you're a sports commentator, you're a dork, you didn't get any in college, don't try and make a head football coach talk to a kid how you want to talk to him. Everybody's yelling at Will Muschamp. That's what the hell is wrong with these kids. It ain't no damn discipline no more. So all you commentators that say, oh, he shouldn't do it this way, you ain't never coached a damn day of college football. Just sit down and shut up and commentate and let the football coaches coach. Now, next year, what I expect in Big 12 is four teams. Oklahoma State is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They always have 1 year and they have a bad year. So next year, Oklahoma State will probably be 7-5 or 6-6. They'll get to a bowl game, but they'll probably be 500. Oklahoma will be near the top. Baylor, however, I think Art Briles is going to take into account he has three quarterbacks that he had to play this year, and I think he's going to prepare all three of them as the starter because he saw what happened this year. I think Baylor is number two next year. TCU is probably a 7-5, 8-4 team because they're losing to Trayvon Boykin. However, Texas Tech will have everybody back, Mahonez and the whole crew. Now, they'll suck on defense, and they'll give 100 points up on defense, but they'll win 120-100. I know when you watch Texas Tech, you think you're watching a damn NBA basketball game, but that's what we got used to with Texas Tech at this point. So, but Texas Tech will probably outscore everybody next year. Everybody's coming back. The defense is not going to get any better. But I think they're in the top four next year. Oklahoma's in there. And then also Baylor. And then it's a toss-up between, I think, West Virginia and Texas to be that number four team. But the three teams next year to look for coming into Big 12, listen to me right, Big 12 Nation, and I don't want Kansas State fans to get mad at me. Yep, Bill Snyder will always find a way to have a winning record. So he's going to upset some teams next year. But this is what's going to end up happening next year. Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Those will be the three teams, I guarantee, that will be able to take it to the top. And, you know, that's my prediction. So mark this word when Big 12 Nation starts all over again next August. I won't delete it so we can archive this show. Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma. Those are the three teams to watch out for in Big 12 next year. And that'll be something great to look forward to. I'll take a one-minute break. I'll come right back, and I'll wrap this thing up and give my final thoughts on the whole year overall and what coaches are going to give my coach of the year. All right. Okay. I'm back. So I'm probably going to go with an unpopular pick. Then the unpopular pick, first of all, I would say I would like to give it to Bob Stoops. But Bob Stoops has got Coach of the Year a million times. He doesn't need any more damn Coaches of the Year in Big 12. My runner-up is Cliff Kingsbury because he's at Texas Tech. They've won some games, but they really didn't come alive until Coach Leach was there a few years back. So he's my second runner-up. Who I'm going to give Big 12 Coach of the Year to is Mr. Gundy in Stillwater. And the reason I'm going to give him that is because nobody expected Oklahoma State to be anywhere near the top of the Big 12. And they only lost two games, and they were undefeated most of the season. And I honestly thought that they would beat Baylor and Oklahoma no problem. So it goes to Mr. Gundy, because for the first 10 weeks of this season, Oklahoma State was in the top 10. And I at no point did I ever see Oklahoma State having the year that they had. So and when you look at the report across the board with the QBs that they've had and the issues they've had at Oklahoma State, you know, I think Coach Gundy, you know, he's done a great job. Very sorry about what happened on homecoming day with the people getting killed by the jackass and running over people in the crowd. I hate when people like that ruin a Saturday in college football because they can't control themselves. They can't control their emotions. They don't have it together. It's so sad. It really takes the fun out of this beautiful atmosphere that we have called college football and college sports in general. But it goes to Oklahoma State. Our meltdowns of the year, most disappointments, was Charlie Strong and Paul Rhodes. And it was sad to see Paul Rhodes go, but he just couldn't get it done. Charlie Strong, overall great coach, but doing a very bad job in Texas. And you got to find a way to beat Cal at home. You got to find a way to beat Oklahoma State at home. You got to find a way to beat Texas Tech at home. It's just no excuse for that. He did go on the road, beat Baylor, and he did beat Oklahoma this year, and that probably saved his job because it gave people something to look forward to. So we'll see. But he lays an egg those first three games next year. He's going to be sitting somewhere laying an egg on the sidewalk because he'll be out the door in a heartbeat. So that's what's going on, Big 12 Nation. I am so happy that we got a team in the college football playoff. And it is bowl season, and I can't wait to watch these bowls. Baylor, let's see what they do against UNC. Kansas State taking on Arkansas, a good old-fashioned game. West Virginia versus Arizona State. Oklahoma State in the New Year's Six. Oklahoma will be obviously in the college football playoff. And Texas Tech will obviously be in a shootout, too, in the Texas Bowl. So thank you so much, Big 12 Nation heads. I'll be back with a bowl wrap-up. We'll talk about what we look forward to, what recruiting is going to be like. Signing day special will be coming in February. Keep liking the Facebook page. And like I tell everybody else, the hell with the SEC, the hell with Paul Feinbaum, the hell with ESPN propaganda. This is Big 12 Nation. The Big 12 is the best, most competitive conference in college football, and I'm fed up with people overlooking it like it's not great. Texas has great high school recruiting. Oklahoma State have great programs. Kansas State has an outstanding program, and West Virginia has been great historically, no matter what conference they've been in. So hats off, Big 12 heads, and I will catch you next time. Thank you so much for catching the podcast. Like me on Facebook, Love Big 12 Nation. And I'll catch you guys after bowl season, and we'll do a bowl season wrap-up. Take care. Have a good one. All right. Bye.